We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in, all you beautiful people, kids, babies, dogs, cats, whoever. Thank y'all for tuning in and joining us on this lovely, lovely thing we do called the CHGO Bulls Podcast, presented by PointsBet. Use that promo code CHGO when you sign up to live your bet life. I am Big Dave. You can follow me at Bow Sports. And I am joined by two wonderful people, the people who actually started this thing that we on right now. That man that they call Will Gottlieb, you can follow him at Won't Gottlieb, and our guy Mark K. You can
Won't he
him.
Do it?
Follow him at MK Hoops. How you guys doing, man? Will, what's going on with you? Let me talk to you first. How are you,
dude? You did a fantastic job filling in for Peck there, who's just slacking, going on vacation in the summertime. I don't know what he's up to, but coming for his job, man. That was great.
Oh, man, you know, he's in summer Peck mode. So, you know, he's living life. He's doing all right down in Texas. Shout out to him. Hanging with the nieces. He got beer, and he's in a pool of water, and he's just being a big six-year-old.
Pool of water.
Pool of water, as opposed, you know, to a cup of water, which you can also sit in. Mark K, what's up with you, my man?
Oh, not much, mate. I've got my coffee, got my Easter egg, got my takes, ready to have a good conversation with you guys. Can I just say that I'm... For whatever reason, I feel like I'm going to trash Matt on this episode a lot. So let me start by saying that guy has way too much confidence to be rocking those tank tops with those small little arms. God, I mean, this whole summer Peck vibe is just like, this guy has too much confidence. So Matt, if you're listening to this, which you're probably not, so I'm not even sure if you're going to hear this, but at least at the gym, bro, before you're wearing those tank tops.
That was going to be my question. Do we think he's going to listen to this? Do we think he's going to hear it?
I can guarantee you he's going to listen to this. Like, he might be on vacation, but Matt never stops working. Like, it's not in him.
I think I said this before. Mark's just got to pick a fight with somebody, you know? Every time he's on, he's just...
Well, I listen to you guys every day that I'm not on, obviously. And then, one of you will say something that annoys me. I'm like, oh, I'm going to save that. I'll write that down for next time. And yesterday I was listening to the Derek Jones Jr. conversation whilst I was walking the dogs. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? But that's okay. We don't have to rehash that.
Yeah, we won't forget on the revisiting of back end of the roster evaluations here. Yeah,
I like the fact that he writes this stuff down and brings it back up later. I kind of like that about him, though, man. Seriously, I dig that.
Oh, he's a student of the game. He's taking notes. Sir. He's watching film.
And a student of the petty as well. So that is awesome, man. But, dude, you've joined us, Mark. This is your first Fun Friday show. We're happy you here on this one, man. We got a lot we're going to get into. We are definitely going to talk about Mark's favorite human being in the world, LeVar Ball, and the comments that he had to say about Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball. And, of course, we're going to pull out that random Bulls player generator and see what we got. Some three fresh new faces. I can't wait to see that. But first, since it's Fun Friday, how about we start with something fun and good? And that is our guy, Ayo Dosunmu, making the all-rookie team. in the NBA. This is freaking exciting for me. I'm very happy for him. He made the second team. Joey, if you got that, you can put that up for me, sir. We can see that. Oh, how beautiful that is up there. As you can see, that's that second team. That's Ayo Dosunmu. He is joined by Chris Duarte, representing Dominican Republic, Josh Giddey, Bones Highland, and Herbert Jones. Guys, before I get into your dislikes about this Licks, because I'm sure you guys have some, can you tell me your feelings on Ayo making this second team? Are you okay with it? How excited you are about it? Will, I'll start with you, my man.
I'm very excited. I thought I was a little nervous. Just, I mean, he had that stretch in the middle of the season where he was on fire on both ends, like locking up Trae Young. I really stepped in that point guard role, as we talked about in our evaluation. But towards the end of the season, he kind of tapered off. And so I was a little worried that he might not get on it. But I think second team makes sense. Some of the ordering on the rest of it is, you know, maybe up for debate a little bit. Like Herb Jones, I think probably earned a first team spot. But for Ayo, that's awesome. You know, just a great place to start his career and continue to build on.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, Ayo deserved that second team. And I was kind of worried if he would slip out, just because people tend to award recency bias as, well, at least as a, that's why I think Jalen Green's on the first team.
Yeah, I was going to say, as you can see with Jalen Green.
Yeah, like he had maybe two good months and four really bad months. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, he finds himself on the first team. So I was a little bit worried there that maybe Ayo had flipped that, I guess, in the sense that he played better earlier and would that, you know, create problems of sorts. But just reward, he deserved to be on that second team. I got no issues with him being on the second team. My issues are more with who's not on the first team, and I don't think I should have been on the first team. I'm not going full homer in that sense, but yeah, Jalen Green being on that first team is probably the main talking point.
Yeah, definitely. He definitely deserved to be on the second team. Like you said, Marquez, I didn't have him on the first team, but I mean, he was just absolutely deserving. And for me, these lists are made for guys like him in the season that he had, because I don't think anybody had him making the second team, let alone making the Bulls team. A lot of people had him, you know, going to the G League and things like that. So coming in as a 22-year-old, which is old by NBA standards, but coming in as a 22-year-old with a chip on his shoulder, coming in the second round and starting just, 40 games for the season for the Chicago Bulls, playing in 77 of those games, which is, again, absolutely great. Just a testament to his durability. And what I liked about him most, guys, was he just took on every single challenge, you know, that was presented to him, whether Billy Donovan, you know, wanted him to be the off-ball guard, or whether he wanted him to run point, whether he just wanted him to lock down someone, or whether he just wanted him to be a shooter, or whether he wanted him to just challenge someone. You know, he always was about, you know, throwing those challenges out to Ayo. And I think Ayo did a great job accepting him. He never cried. You never saw him whining about anything. He was just always focused on getting better, just being that sponge. And that's going to do nothing but just make him better as he goes forward in his career. But this is definitely very well deserved by him.
I think it's also interesting just to see some of the other players on here, where some of them are just like pure upside plays. Like you said, Mark, Jalen Green had a last 2 months of the season, he kind of caught fire. But some of these guys are just like high level contributors on playoff caliber teams, whether it's Herb Jones with the Pelicans, and they obviously had a great first round series against the Suns. Mobley was fantastic all year. I think Scotty Barnes kind of falls into that role as well, with obviously more upside. But then you've got just like the pure upside guys who I think are going to end up being really good, put up some numbers on some not so good teams, with Jalen Green, Cade Cunningham, and your boy Josh Giddey, who I think definitely, despite missing the last 2 months of the year, deserve to be on that one and possibly even first team.
Yeah,
I think Giddey gets onto that first team if he doesn't miss a ton of games, whether that's due to a complete injury or, you know, some shenanigans over there in OKC in terms of you know, them going in full tank mode. But yeah, he probably was going to be on that first team. Herb Jones should have been on that first team, but for Ayo to be on that team, like, it speaks to so many different things. Obviously, it speaks to the win of the pick itself, you know, making that right selection. You know, Herb Jones went a little bit after Ayo, but, you know, nonetheless, Ayo was a fantastic pick in the second round. It speaks to Ayo himself. And Dave, you mentioned, like, some were not expecting him to be, like, a contributor this season. Like, that was me. I I assumed he would be part of like the third unit, to be honest with you, if he played at all. But not only did he play and establish himself early, he became the starting point guard of this team for a long, long stretch, to the point where, and Dave, you were talking about this on the IO like evaluation pod that you guys did. Mm-hmm. They do run point guard at a level that I was not prepared for. And you know, I wasn't someone that wanted IO in the draft necessarily. I wasn't an IO hater, so to speak, but he wasn't the guy that I was going to take. So maybe my expectations were lower than some, particularly those that support the University of Illinois. But I guess the point was I had low expectations and he blew them out more generally, but in terms of my expectations of him as a point guard and ability to run the offense and the way he defended that point guard position, he was incredible. He was incredible, really. And again, like I mentioned from the top, I listen to you guys every other day and listen to all the pods. And I thought you guys were actually a little bit harsh on IO in your evaluation podcast.
Okay.
Because maybe, again, it just speaks to expectations and maybe your expectations were different to mine, and then maybe why I was so low that to the point that he blew them away in that sense. But what he did for the Bulls in their particular situation and what he was thrust upon, or what was thrust upon him even, was huge. And the way he responded, yes, he sort of faded towards the back end there, but man, was it he was just super impressive. And I hope he builds on this. We've got a comment in here in the on the chat about, like, if he can just get that jumper sorted, then this dude is going to be a great two-way player for a very, very long time.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think you kind of hit on this a little bit, but just like the expectation of him for me was third string, kind of like smaller 3-and-D, you know, guard down,
yeah,
like role player. And then not only did he step up into the second unit and then eventually the starter unit, but he was also like, you know, adding responsibility to that, where it wasn't just like guard and stand in the corner. He was like literally running pick and rolls all the time. And like the ball was in his hand. So he definitely stepped up well beyond what I thought he could do, both in terms of where he would be in the rotation and what he was capable of as a basketball player. So totally agree.
I actually have a question, guys, and I want your opinion on how much credit do you think Billy Donovan deserves for being able to identify Io so quickly, add him into the rotation? Because we've seen Bulls coaches too in the past, just unwilling to play rookies, unwilling to play young players. So I think that I think that, you know, maybe this all wouldn't have gone the same way if it wasn't Billy at the helm.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Marquette. Yeah.
No, that's a great point. I mean, you guys know how I feel about Billy. I want Billy to be my dad. I wish he was my dad. And Billy was kind of Io's dad this season. It kind of felt like, like in a good way, like don't interpret that a certain way, but I guess that's it's to Joey's point. I'll derail the question there, but like some of it was thrust upon him, like he had no options and he maybe had to, you know, he had to go to Io, but at the same time he kept trusting Io, and Io was showing him a little bit of something, and then he would be like, okay, cool, that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the well a little bit more. And credit to Io as well, like he was extremely coachable. And the way Billy was able to, you know, identify how Io responds to certain criticisms. Some dudes you can bark at, some dudes you need to build up depending on the player. Mm-hmm. The way Billy understands that element of player evaluation is first rate. And, you know, I appreciate the way he handled him both on and off the court. Like we saw him barking at Io more so than Pat, for example. The way he would talk about Io post-game was extremely positive. And Io's the kind of guy that you know is going to reach his peak, whatever it is, because just of who he is, the character he is. And that's probably the most impressive thing about Io. Irrespective of what player he ultimately becomes, I have no concerns at all about what he's, if he's going to reach his ceiling. Whereas, you know, take Pat, for example, I have more concerns about that because of just his general timidity, let's say. Whereas Io, there's none of that. This dude just came out and you know, he was just him. And like you guys talked about it the other day in terms of when you're talking about the dunks, that dunk he had against the Pacers, like that was the dude just coming in and saying, you know, I'm an NBA player. I've arrived. I'm going to be a good player. And he took full advantage. So credit to Io. But I love the way Billy handled him all season.
Yeah. Shout out to you for the word timidity also. Go ahead, Will. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think the injuries played a role here too, where Kobe started the season on the bench out with the shoulder injury, And then five games in, Patrick gets hurt. And as we've talked about before, having Lonzo and Caruso and Zach and DeMar, like, you kind of have to play those guys one through four. And so Io comes in off the bench, automatically, you know, steps into this bigger role. And to Mark's point, I think Billy just had like a very natural way of connecting with him and like tell him to do something. And then he goes and does it, as opposed to Pat, where you kind of need to like sit down with him, walk him through it. And I think that, I don't know if it's like an age maturity thing or just that's who he is, but it seems like Billy, you know, had a lot of trust in him to be able to learn from his mistakes early on and to run with it. So I think they just had a really good relationship because of the way that they were able to communicate. And then also Io stepping up and playing really well. Like, you kind of have to continue to give guys minutes if they're balling.
I mean, at the risk, and this is probably the only meathead thing I'll say in this segment, he's from Chicago. And honestly, that is a Chicago mentality that he had every time he stepped on the floor. And when you watched him play, it wasn't, I have more question about his skill translating to the NBA more so than his mental translating to the NBA. Yeah. So that's what I was on when I saw that. But watching how he responded and how he reacted and being coachable, like Marque said, and those kind of things, I'm not shocked at that. Like, that's really how it is here. Like, not complaining and just getting on the court, you know, and what they say, no harm, no blood, no foul. And that's really kind of the thing we play by here in the city. That's how guys are kind of raised, especially at that guard position. It's like that. So, yeah, I'm not surprised at him mentally, but I definitely had questions about certain aspects of his game. Like, I was really surprised his three-point shot translated like it did. I mean, ended up shooting, what, 37% from three. I was shocked. I didn't think his three was going – I thought it was going to be something he was going to have to work on in the next couple of years, and, you know, he would get to that kind of level. No, and that has to do with his confidence in his shot and how he's shooting it. So shout out to him for that. And Billy Donovan recognized it, guys. I think he recognized it early. Like I said, he was in that game one. Like, I thought he recognized it, you know, during training camp, you know, even in the summer league, because he didn't have a great summer league. But Billy saw some certain things in him, and I think it wasn't the skill, you know, it was more of the mental weight that he knew he could carry. Because Billy talked about that a lot, like, nothing rattles Io. You know, I could put him in any position and he's going to respond, and, you know, he's not going to get thrown off. He said that quite a few times and said that he wasn't surprised, you know, when Io would perform well in those games, much different than us because we were, you know, we would see him do certain things. But mentally, I wasn't surprised at how he responded. But yeah, man, he was awesome. He deserves all the credit, all the love. There are videos of him out right now working on his handles. You know what I mean? Like, he's in the gym right now trying to get better and just trying to be a better point guard, or better guard, I should say, in general for these Chicago Bulls going forward. And I'm really, really excited about it. And but let me ask you guys this, man. Is there anybody on this list that you were surprised actually made this list, either first team or second team? Will, I'll start with you. Anybody that kind of surprised you being on this list?
I don't think anybody really surprised me. I would just say shout out to our guys at DNVR, Bones Highland, yeah. Friend of the program. Good for him. He was awesome.
Yeah, Bones is awesome.
Yeah, man. He's going to be a really damn good player, actually. Yeah. He was the guy that I was hoping the Bulls would trade up for in the first. Like, I was hoping they would trade up in the first round and go and grab Bones as he was sort of sliding down the order there. But no one really surprised me in terms of the top 10 guys. Like, maybe you can make a case for, like, Davion Mitchell. But again, he didn't necessarily start well, got better as things went along. But yeah, I don't necessarily have an issue with, you know, any snubs per se in terms of the 10 guys that made it. Is more so, like, as we already discussed, who should be on what team. But I think more generally, I think the names that are on there, you know, 1 through 10, I think that's, you know, 95% correct, let's say.
So before I move on, I do want you to expound on the Herb Jones, because you guys were poking at it a little bit about him not being on that first team. What are your reasons behind it? Because honestly, me looking at it, my first thought was, oh, Jalen Green made first team, and I didn't even think twice about it. And seeing Herb Jones being on the second team, I was like, yeah, he had an excellent season. Maybe he should be on first team. But what do you say to people like myself who didn't even blink an eye that Jalen Green was on the first team? Is it just the name, you know, the Regency? Is that what it is with him?
You mean in terms of Jalen not he should not have made first team.
Yeah, of him being on there. Like I said, I didn't bat an eye with him being on that first team, and you guys batted several.
Yeah.
When you saw him. Yeah,
I think he's a bigger name. He has the highlight plays. He really turned up the scoring in the last month or so of the season. I don't think he like doesn't deserve to be on here at all. But for me, Herb Jones is like already one of the elite defenders in the NBA. I mean, you kind of put him in the same category as Evan Mobley, not in terms of like impact and versatility, but just the ability to like defend at a super high level on a really good team for the entire season. Like this dude is going to be an all defensive staple for his entire career. I mean, he is just really, really special. So, and you saw the impact in the first round of the playoffs. And I know that this technically is not supposed to include playoff performance, but it just goes to show how impactful he was. So I love guys like that who just come in and compete at a super high level. And just because defense is one of those things that's like, you have to learn it. And for him to just like come in and already get it, that's really, really impressive to me.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I don't know, this is just literally, I've just thought of now, so maybe I'm wrong and maybe I'm completely incorrect on this, but I wonder if it's harder for a rookie to be positive on the defensive end more so than the offensive end in their first year. And my assumption is it would be. And to that point, and what Will noted there, as well as our super producer, Joey, is saying in the comments, like, there should have been, or Herb Jones had a serious case of making an all-defensive team. So to think about...
Are those teams out yet?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. Yeah, maybe.
He legitimately might be on that.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. So assuming he is or isn't, like he's on that precipice already. So to be that level of defensive player already, I won't quote the numbers that I've seen flying around because I wouldn't be doing them justice, nor do I remember who posted them. But the sentiment was that this dude was effectively one of the best wing defenders in the NBA, irrespective of, you know, status, whether it was a rookie or a 10-year vet. Like he's amongst those names already in terms of, you know, advanced defensive metrics. So for a rookie to come in and be that level of defender, to me, that's more impressive than some guy getting buckets, which, you know, I don't want to diminish what Jalen Green can do, because not many rookies can do that. But at the same time, you're playing on a terrible team like Houston, where you can just go out and do your thing offensively, whereas Herb is like a key component defensively of what the Pelicans became. So, and the way he was sort of guarding CP3 in playoffs, going from Paul to wings to bigs, like his ability to virtually guard 1 through 4 at this point. I'm a very big Herb fan, as a lot of people are, and just the name Herb more generally, what a good name.
Also, the nickname is just absolute peak.
What's the nickname?
Not on Herb. Not on Herb.
Okay. All right.
Him and Davion Mitchell just came into the league with some of the best nicknames we've heard in the last 10 years.
Yeah. I was really high on Davion Mitchell. That was probably my favorite rookie outside of Io this year, because I follow him in the summer league, man, and watched him in. He just completely impressed me. And on the low, guys, I like the Sacramento Kings. Like, on the low, I've always liked the Sacramento Kings. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. I have no idea, but I've always liked that team. And so just I watched a lot of Kings games, and I'm just like watching him, 2001. Man. Dude, right? Hey, again, don't fault me. I don't know. I can't explain it to you.
No, seriously, I used to love watching that team.
No clue. Yeah, no, they were beasts back then, you know, with Weber and all those guys. Like, they were a monster, but I stayed for some reason, and I don't know why. But, yeah, I just bless like you. Him so much, man. Thank you. I like him so much. And to the point, that's why Tyrese Halliburton became, you know, expendable for them, was because of the play of Davion Mitchell. It wasn't – honestly, it wasn't because of De'Aaron Fox. It was because of Mitchell. And I don't agree with it, but that's the reason they sent him out of there, was because of that play that young kid provided, man. And, yeah, I just like his game so much, man. And he's just one of those dudes that's just going to come at you all the time and just get on your nerves. And he's got a little offensive game as well, but makes his money on the defensive end, man. So shout out Davion Mitchell, man. And shout out Herb and all these guys that made the list, but especially shout out Ayo Dosunmu for making this list on the second team, sir. Can't wait to see what you do next year. Coming up, guys, like I said, we're going to talk about LaVar Ball and his comments that he had about Lonzo and Zach LaVine. I know Mark K is itching to give his points on that. And we will also get into that world famous, as sources have said, that world famous random Bulls generator. That is definitely coming up. But first, I got to tell y'all guys this, because Will Gottlieb will be mad if I didn't. The best way to support CHGO is to download that PointsBet app and use that code CHGO when you sign up. Because if you do that right now, you can get two, count them, two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But that's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of that awesome web content. And you'll even get a free T-shirt of your choice from that CHGO alacher. That's 2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free T-shirt from that CHGO locker, all for making more than a $50 deposit at PointsBet. And also, Matt Peck will appreciate this, that live NBA same game parlay. For the first time ever, you can build that perfect live NBA same game parlay. You can do that only with PointsBet. Combine your favorite bets anytime during the game. And if you want more, Joey?
And we know that you do.
Oh, see, he comes in and he's like, oh, I thought he was going to finish it off, man. But it's all good. He will be saying, because I know that you do. You can boost your live same game parlays. You can watch live, parlay live, boost live, and party live with PointsBet. And if you're in this beautiful state of Illinois, in this wonderful, beautiful city of Chicago, where it's hot as Satan's armpit outside, I'd rather you stay inside and download that PointsBet app and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. So what are you waiting for? Because once that game starts, you don't just bet. Will Gottlieb, tell them what they do.
You live your bet life.
Oh, so fresh and exciting. That was exciting. I like that one. Well done. Well done. Well done. All right, guys. We got to talk about this. Even though it's a fun Friday, we kind of got to get into this for a second and talk about it. LaVar Ball is back in the media, and he's back making some noise and talking some stuff. He ended up on David Kaplan's YouTube show called The Recap, which is an awesome ass name, by the way. Shout out to him for that name, The Recap. And he had some things he had to say about Lonzo Ball and Zach LaVine. Joey, if you got those quotes, you can put those up there for me, man. This is LaVar Ball talking about Lonzo and his knee surgery. After they do the surgery on his leg, I'm looking and I'm like, yo, they got him running and stuff way too fast. It was too early for him to do that. He should have been doing some pool therapy instead of the treadmill or the running he was doing. That's wrong. That's him expressing, you know what I'm saying, his anger with the Bulls and how they rehabbed his son's knee and got him together and thought that, you know, maybe they should be doing a little bit different. Marque, I'll start with you, man. What are your thoughts on LaVar's statement? Do you hold anything in your heart because he's talking about his son and he's like, maybe I know how to train him a little better or what his knee needs, or is he just the blowout?
That's Dr. LaVar Ball to you, Dave.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. I apologize, sir. That is my mistake. Please, Marque.
Oh, look, you know, he's a father. I'm a father. So on some level, I can respect that. But I also think this man is a complete dope who I have zero respect for. So he needs to shut the fuck up with respect, LaVar. With respect, I say that. I mean, you are not a doctor. You are not an agent. We'll talk about the LaVine stuff, maybe.
Sure.
But just shut up. Like, and like my initial annoyance is with LaVar. But then I get a more, when I start thinking about it, like, who am I truly annoyed at? Am I annoyed at myself for paying attention to this? Am I annoyed at you, Dave, for bringing this topic up? Am I annoyed at Cap for having this dope on his program? I think I'm just more generally pretty annoyed about this whole thing. About, like, everyone. Everyone's pissed me off in this instance. But no, I don't want to hear about LaVar, about, you know, what should or shouldn't be happening from his son's rehab. Like, who are you to say that, LaVar? You know, ultimately, like, you are the guy that has said so many stupid things. I can't take anything that you say with, you know, any purpose at all. Like, maybe he's right on this particular instance, but because he says so many stupid shit over the year, I just can't believe anything that he says, whether it's this, whether it's the LaVine stuff, whether it's anything. I don't want to hear from you. You're a dope. Please just get off the screen. I never want to hear from you ever again. Please.
Joey, I mean, it was worth it, Mark. Hey, you could be upset at me, but it was worth it just to hear that. I promise you. Will, anything you want to say about LaVar Ball and how he felt about the Bulls rehabbing his son's knee?
I mean, if you watch him on this show, and they did like a YouTube video of it, so if you want to go watch that, you should. He's just like performing. He's acting. Yes. Like, he's an entertainer. I just like, I don't find him as offensive if you just look at it through the lens of he's just performing. And he said some stuff that he shouldn't have in terms of like not agreeing with the way that the Bulls medical staff handled the rehab, but like, especially, I don't know if you guys want to get into the LaVine stuff too, but it's just,
oh, we will.
he's just out here entertaining. It like almost reminds me of Kanye, like where he just says stuff to get a rise out of people.
I completely agree.
You don't even know if he believes it.
No, I don't think he believes any of it. Like, I think it's just pure entertainment for him. The man ended up on Monday Night Raw wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Because of this, just
he's like going back and forth with Stephen A. Like, he's a hot take artist.
He's a performance artist. Another quote he had, real quick, was, "It's too fast and too hard, and that's when I knew he was not going to be able to play. They're training him the wrong way." That was also what he said about that. But I didn't take any of it seriously, what he said. I think the biggest thing I took out of that was he said his son will be back and healthy next year. I was like, cool. That's really, you could have stopped there after that, but he kept going and doing his thing. And yeah, he kept going on. But
Dave, that is what you call LeVar Ball. Selective hearing.
Yes, correct. You know what I mean? You take in what you want to and you leave out the boo boo. You know what I'm saying? You leave out the rest of that stuff. But you guys mentioned what he said about young Zachary LaVine. And that's what has everybody kind of up in arms on Twitter and why Mark K is throwing things and has daggers staring into me right now, because he's upset that we have to actually discuss this and talk about this for a second. Joey, do you have that quote? You throw that up there for me, man. LaVar Ball talking about young Zachary LaVine. It was wild. It was crazy. It was upsetting.
I had the wrong quote in the graphic.
Oh, so it's all right.
I'm going to have to ad lib this one.
I got your back, man. Basically, he's saying that Zach LaVine will not return to the Chicago Bulls. He is going to the LA Lakers. Oh my God, this is shocking around the world. And of course, Twitter exploded because now LaVar Ball is the agent and is now in the front office of the Chicago Bulls for some reason. And everybody just believes that this to be true. Will, I think my reaction was like yours. It was like, yeah, okay. I kind of just rolled over, went back to sleep kind of thing when I heard that, sir.
Yeah, I kind of went into the summer, especially after Zach's exit interview, just being fully aware that this was going to happen. Okay, there's going to be teams that leak stuff. He's going to go meet with other teams. People are going to drop their rumors. Like, I'm okay with that. I've accepted that. I know it's going to happen. The fact that it keeps happening, I feel like every time I'm like 1% more, you know, I don't know if it's like worried about him leaving or just like trying to emotionally prepare for him to leave. So I'm like at 2 or 3% now. So that's to say, like, not very concerned at all. But I mean, so we're going to think of LaVar as chief orthopedic surgeon at some hospital and also like president of basketball operations at the Chicago Bulls. So
yeah,
good luck to you on that, sir.
Yeah. Mark?
This is my problem with this whole thing. Now, you guys both rightly said that this dude is an entertainer and he's just doing this to, you know, just be a douchebag on TV, which is fine. Like, at his core, that's what he's being. And, you know, a lot of people are doing this. This is how they make it in the media industry. Like, I mean, you mentioned Stephen A. Smith. Like, that dude just says shit just to say stuff. Mm-hmm. Nick Wright is someone else that does stuff like this. There's a bunch of talking heads that they just say stupid stuff to get, I guess, noticed. Let's put it that way, politely. But in this instance, because LaVar is Lonzo's father, because Lonzo is LaVine's teammate, his backcourt mate, people will assume that the same agency. People will assume that this is somewhat sourced and not just some douchebag on Kaplan's show saying some stupid shit. And that's the annoying part about it. Like, if LaVar was just on the side, just being a douchebag and it carried no weight, then I wouldn't have an issue with it. But what happens is people take this as gospel of sorts. Now, I won't say what I think about those people, but it is annoying because it just becomes part of the narrative that, oh, look, LaVar said this. Lonzo is his son. His son is teammates with Zach, or maybe there's some credibility to this stuff. To the point where, you know, you get people within the fan base turning on Zach. You get people within the fan base sort of going with what LaVar said. And LaVar didn't just say that he wants to, or that he won't be back in Chicago. He said he will go to the Lakers, which one, I mean, theoretically is possible, but extremely difficult to do given the Lakers cap position and the fact that it would have to be via a sign and trade. And the only way it would really happen via a sign and trade is the Bulls taking back Russell Westbrook, because the Lakers aren't giving you Anthony Davis in that transaction. Why the hell would they? So that in itself is just complete lunacy for that to happen. But then, you know, beyond that, like LeVar said, that, you know, Zach isn't happy being the second fiddle behind DeMar DeRozan. Right. And right. People pick up on that. And then they start banging on about, like, LaVine isn't happy with his role. He's not happy that DeRozan got more love than LaVine this season. And that becomes a narrative in itself. And people believe that sort of stuff. So that's what annoys me, that, like, literally all season, there's been nothing to suggest that Zach is unhappy in Chicago, that he didn't like, you know, playing with DeMar. He didn't like being second fiddle, so to speak, to DeMar, which he wasn't necessarily. Like, to me, it was a 1A, 1B type thing. Maybe it became a one versus two thing towards the back end of the year because, you know, Zach was carrying a knee injury. But, like, there's other narratives and issues that sort of come out of this and surface, and it becomes part of the narrative. And it's annoying for that reason, because nothing all year has there, it's been just been no conversation at all that Zach is unhappy in Chicago, that he you'd want to go to the LA, that he wants to be, that he has an issue being a second fiddle in Chicago, but he's going to be okay being the third guy in LA. Like, what are people talking about? Like, that's the shit that annoys me. And like, the reason why it annoys me is that it ultimately filters into my Twitter mentions, and me being an idiot that I am who lives on Twitter all day can't look away from those things, and I just get annoyed by it all. So that's why LaVar pisses me off. That's why I get annoyed at myself for falling for this. That's why I get annoyed at you, Dave, for bringing this up as a topic. That's why I get annoyed at Cap for having this dope on the show. I'm just annoyed more generally because it pisses me off.
Well, let me take your annoyance back to where it's supposed to be, where you started it at the beginning of this show, and that's to Matt, because we were going to bring this up yesterday, and Matt absolutely refused, and he said, I'm not doing it. Do it tomorrow on a Friday fun day when I'm not around, and he knew this would annoy you, sir, so let me take it back to where that annoyance came from for you.
Yeah, look, I'm happy to blame Peck, and look, Bull, don't lie in the comments here. He's saying Marquez is always annoyed. Yes, I am. There's many things to be annoyed about in this world. There's many things to enjoy in this world. But in this particular instance, it pisses me off. So I'm going to let it be known. I won't say what I was about to say. Continue
yes,
on.
Sir. Yes, sir. I got you, Marque. I got you. But here was my thing. Listen, as soon as he said that comment, this is just where I'm talking about the entertainment factor, where I took none of this seriously. As soon as he said this, the very next question Kaplan asked him was, well, who do you want to be on this team if Zach's not here? First thing he says, Jello. He wants his son to be on the team. He said because he shoots the three at a higher clip than Zach LaVine. Based on what? I have no idea. And I'm like, okay, well, I get what you're doing now. Like, your performance piecing, and you're trying to get your son out here in the league to play with your other son, which he said has been his goal from day one, is to get all three of his sons on the same team together. This is just part of his goal of what he's trying to do, man. So when I heard that, I was like, oh, that's him just doing LaVar Ball stuff again, man. So I immediately, like I said, I went back to sleep, Will.
if LaVar wants LiAngelo on the Bulls so bad, they can use a two-way spot on him because he's not an NBA player. But if they want to get all the ball bros together, like LaMelo, be my guest. Come to join us in Chicago here, because that would actually be fun. But yeah, I mean, it's just silly. I mean, I don't really have anything else to say. It's just silly. I don't really... And it's also like, it's just baseless. Like Mark was saying, I mean, it's like all the actual context is Zach wants his respect. That means he wants to get paid. Zach wants to win, but now he wants to be the guy, he wants to be the guy on a team that also has LeBron and Anthony Davis. I mean, it just, none of it makes sense. So I think like I said before, he's going to be in the rumors. Teams are going to want him. Teams are going to say that they are going to like move stuff around so they can absorb him. At the end of the day, he is getting the full 5-year max. And if it's going to be a sign of trade, fine. The Bulls better get something real good back. And if not, then he should come back, because that's what's most likely and what's best case scenario for the Bulls.
Yes. All right. We're done with it. I'm moving on, Marque. I promise you, I won't bring it up again, ever again on the show, sir.
Wash our hands.
Thank you for indulging me. Coming up, man, we're gonna get into, of course, that world famous random Bulls generator. And before we get into that, I do want to, since Marque is in an annoyed mood, I want to bring him back around and talk about love for a second. Can I talk about that? I want to get in love with Marquette for 1 second, man. But before we do that, just real quickly, one more time. If you enjoy CHGO, one way to help us to continue to grow is to download that PointsBet app and use that code CHGO when you sign up. Because not only are you getting those two, count them two, risk-free bets up to $2,000, but if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all that awesome web content, and you'll even get that free T-shirt of your choice from the CHGO Locker. And like I said, if you're here in Illinois, in this beautiful state of Illinois, in this wonderful city of Chicago, wherever you are in the state of Illinois, you could download that PointsBet app right now, register from your account from start to finish, and you can do it all from your phone. You'll be signing up with the fastest sports book easier than ever. So you can start living your bet life in seconds. So what are you waiting for? Because once the game starts, you don't just bet. Mark K, tell him what you do.
You live your bet life.
With the accent. I like it. There's something new
I was thinking about, like, should I do an episode one time where I do an American accent? Do you think that would fly?
I've never heard
an Australian accent.
You've heard him do this, Will? Oh, okay. No, I would like to hear this. I've never heard it before, sir.
I don't know if I can. Terrible. I'm just saying it would be amusing, maybe. Or maybe people would just hate it so much that they would turn off. So I'm not sure, but I thought I'd throw it in there.
Not as amusing as LeVar on Cap's show. One more piece of Zach news before we go, I forgot to mention.
Sure.
Is that KC Johnson had an article today about Zach and his free agency and just summer in general. Go check that out. I won't get into like the details because a lot of it's the same as what we just talked about in terms of other teams going to wine and dine him. But he also said that he's expected to have his arthroscopic surgery early next week. Today's Friday, so Monday or Tuesday, I would assume. And it's supposed to be just like a cleanup. So hopefully they're going to fix up whatever loose cartilage he has and he'll be ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, the first step towards him coming back and, you know, signing that contract. That's the very first step, was getting that knee together. So, yeah, he's doing what is going according to plan. And don't worry about anything else, guys. Just focus.
And unless you put Zach in your player generator, then we should be done talking about him for now.
Yes, man, absolutely right. Oh, man, Marquette, I'm going to ask you this question because this is on my mind. Will and I were talking about doing the show yesterday. And I asked him, he asked, you know, what he want to discuss, what he want to talk about. And I said, actually, I'd like to know when you guys like fell in love like with the Chicago Bulls. And Will said, he said, you know what? We had this discussion. Speaking of you and Will, he said, you guys had that discussion in 2015. And he doesn't remember exactly what you said. And I said, Mark K talked about love. I have got to hear this. So I want to know, Mark K, when was it that made you, because you being, you know, from Australia, sir, when was it that made you fall in love like with the Chicago Bulls?
Well, firstly, I have no idea about that conversation that Will and I had. So
I think it was on Dennis Podman a real long time ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that was a long time ago. I can't remember yesterday, let alone, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. But to answer your question, Dave, like, I guess I am a bandwagon of sorts, you know, being an international basketball fan. And I think, you know, whether they're in the comments now, watching us on YouTube, whether there's people listening, a lot of international fans became fans of the Bulls because of what the Bulls were in terms of, you know, Michael Jordan, where they were situated in terms of the global marketplace, in terms of sports, those sorts of things. The way Jordan and those Bulls, those 90s Bulls team sort of made basketball this global game that it already is now. You know, in that sense, I jumped on the bandwagon at that time. You know, being an impressionable kid growing up in the 90s, getting into basketball just more generally, you know, we didn't necessarily have a lot of access to the NBA, but from what we did, there were certain things that pierced through, like Jordan, like those Charlotte Hornets teams, those Knicks teams, those Lakers teams, all that sort of stuff. Air Christian in the comments here saying, you know, Steve Quartermain hosting the one NBA game per week. Now, I'm not expecting a lot of you US guys to understand who Steve Quartermain is, but me and Air Christian and any other Australian Bulls fan, or, you know, just more generally, like international fans, a lot of us came to Chicago, not to say I've been to Chicago, but we became Chicago fans because of Jordan. But I was still a young kid at that time. I didn't have access to a lot of Bulls basketball. So whilst I was a Bulls fan, let's say, because I knew who Jordan was, because I knew the awesome logo, all that sort of stuff. I became a diehard probably in the early 2000s when things were really, really bad. And part of that was because, you know, the internet became a thing and I had access to the internet at that time. And, you know, still continuing my fandom for the Bulls, I started to grow from there, but unfortunately it was after the Jordan era and into that really bad rebuild. But I guess to answer your question, what made me love the Bulls was the turnaround when Paxton and Heinrich came in, which is maybe ironic, me saying that I love the John Paxton team, given my current stance on John Paxton. But, you know, those first 4, 5, 6, 7 years of that Paxton era, whether it was the baby Bulls into the Rose stuff, that was just amazing. And then, like, that's what made me fall in love with the Bulls, that first Kirk Heinrich era, what that became with when Lowell and Ben Gordon became part of the team, like those teams. That's what made me become a diehard. And ever since then, I've just wanted to always connect with people and talk about this team. And for me, being afar, like, it had to be done via the internet, like just constantly on forums online talking about the Bulls, which then, you know, grew into, you know, blogging about the Bulls, which then grew into podcasting and tweeting about the Bulls. So I just constantly want to talk about this team. They're always on my mind for better or worse, even if I am annoyed about them in certain situations. But it is all love, Dave. Like, I love this team. I love talking about this team. I love talking to, you know, whether it's you guys, whether it's people on Twitter, whatever it may be. I just love talking about this Bulls team, because I love the Bulls, and that's how it came to be.
Mm-hmm. That's an amazing answer, man.
Tearing up. Oh,
man, for real. That was awesome. Like, seriously, that was really awesome. I appreciate that aspect, you know, again, because just you not being from here, I'm always curious as to how you can grow like that kind of love and, you know, not really touch it, you know what I mean, or see it up close. Yeah. That's why I'm amazed by that.
Yeah, it's weird, man. Like, I've got this affinity for a city that I've never, ever been to, that I may never, ever go to. I hope to. That would be great, but I don't know if that will ever happen. I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But assuming that were to happen, I would have never been to Chicago. I'm on the other side of the world, as our friends in, you know, C-Red UK are. You know, as a lot of people that are tuning into this, like, there's so many international Bulls fans. Like, it's crazy to think of how many Bulls fans there are across the world. And I'm hoping you guys in Chicago know that. This team is massive, which is why it always annoyed me when they operated like a small market team that didn't necessarily realize how big of a global presence they were. But yeah, like, through those lean years, through those tough years, and this is me maybe being a little bit going back to the love piece, but like, what kept me coming back to it was, you know, the people that I had met through the Bulls, and not necessarily through the Bulls, but you know what I mean? Like, being fans of the same team,
right?
Like, connecting with Will, connecting with you, Dave, like, that's the sort of stuff that keeps coming back to why you keep coming back to the Bulls, even when they're going through some lean years, let's say, like we've sort of recently experienced in the not too distant past, let's say. It's who you meet along the way, and you all have this same affinity for, you know, a random team that you guys live and you can go to the games whenever you want. But for me, for C-Red UK or whoever it may be, you know, Air Christian in the comments here, all these other people in the comments who's listening who are international Bulls fans, like, you have this affinity for a team that you may never even get to see. But, you know, part of it is the team itself, but part of it is, like, literally who you meet along the way. And, I just love talking about this team, in part because it's awesome who you get to meet and who you get to talk to and who you get to connect with about this team. And, that's my way of saying I love you, Dave, and I love you, Will. And I love you too, Joey.
Love you too, Marque. That's awesome, man.
Oh, that is awesome. And I'll say this too. I don't know if that makes you a bandwagon fan. You, like, picked your team and rode with them, and you are absolutely not a fair weather fan, because you watched every single game from 2016 to 2021, and we've talked about it before, the hours that you have to stay up to watch this team. Exactly. Internationally, I mean, to have such an incredible international fan base stick through a 5-year, not just like rebuild, because they didn't actually like really build anything, just 5 years of being absolute shit is, I mean, it's a testament to how incredible the brand is and how incredible the Jordan era was, because that is really what captured the, like, the entire world's imagination of, like, what NBA fandom, what NBA greatness is.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah. Look, there's a couple things that annoy me. A lot of things that annoy me.
Here we go.
one thing that really annoys me is when people question my fandom. Because to your point, Will, like the lengths that international fans have to go to follow this team is exorbitant, to the point where, you know, maybe it costs you certain things, whether it's professionally, whether it's personally. You know, you've got less time for friends and family, let's say, because you're too addicted to watching the Bulls. You know, we're talking right now. It's 9:30 a.m. for me. I could be out, you know, going for a run. I could be out playing with my son, but I'm talking to you guys about this Bulls team, and that's for me here. But you know what are other international guys doing? Some of them are staying up at freaking like 3 a.m. in the morning to watch this team. Like, it's crazy. So one thing that annoys me is people saying, you know, you don't like this team. You're not actually a fan of this team. Like, no, I love this team. I put in a lot of time for this team. But I could keep ranting about this. I won't. But for me, it's all love. I love this team. I love talking about this team, and I just love conversing with everyone about this team.
Yeah, and real quick, what Will stated, like, this is not the bandwagon thing at all, because you saying you stayed after the championship years and you still were riding along with the Bulls, that's not bandwagon stuff, bro. Like, definitely, most respect to you. And I love you too, Mark. Of course I do. So, let's do this very quickly, because that was awesome, but that was worth it. But we're going to do this quickly, man. Let's get into that random Bulls generator. And Mark K, sir, I want you to go first. This is your very first time on here doing this. So we're going to go with you first to go ahead and pull that lever and show us the random Bull that you selected, sir. Please.
Oh, let's pull that lever. Bang. What we got going here, boys?
Wow. Okay. What?
I got nothing.
Really?
That my accountant? I don't know who this is. Oh man. I'm going to... it's not Dalibor.
Come on, guys. Come on.
Oh, is he from Australia?
I can't give away clues. Like, this
okay,
is...
Okay, all right. On. Fair enough. I'm sorry, Marque. You got me on this one, man. I don't know who this is, sir.
I like that. I reckon Sheik is in the top left corner there in the random Bulls charity. Joey, that's a nice touch.
Yeah. No, look, it is Australian. I thought I'd keep the Australian theme going. There have been a number of Australians that have played for the Bulls. I think there's four of them, in at least at the top of my head. Obviously, we all know Luke Longley. He's the most famous of the Australian Bulls. Let's say the guy on the screen is less famous. Didn't necessarily stick around that long, but he was part of the post-Jordan era, let's say, what I spoke about when I sort of got into this team at a diehard level. When things were really bleak, so maybe that's why you don't remember him. He didn't stick around long, but that's Australian big man Chris Anstey.
Oh wow. Oh wow, dude. Now that is a blast from the past. Wow.
Yeah. Australian basketball royalty, Chris Anstey.
I haven't heard that name since I heard that name. Wow, man. Oh wow.
I thought for sure you'd get it, just because you assumed I would be picking an Australian or something like that, and because there have been so few that maybe you would remember, but at the same time, I understand why you don't remember.
I got two. I know Cameron, and I know Luke. I got those two down. They're set, but wow, that was well done. That was well done. That was awesome. I don't even have nothing to say on that, man, but we got to keep it moving.
He played 73 games when I was 7 years old, so... I'm going to go ahead and give myself a pass on this one.
Shout out to Ansi, man. Shout out to him. You go ahead. You're up.
I'm not even sure I'm going to remember who I picked, but go ahead, Joey.
Go ahead and hit that lever, sir. Pull that right on down. I don't know if you could top that right there. Oh, okay.
Ooh.
No. That is random. His whole face is random.
Yeah, I got nothing. Straight away, I'm like, nah, I got no idea. He's not even wearing a Bulls jersey in that pick.
Yeah,
this guy must have been. This guy barely have played him, because he's not even in like a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Why did
I pick him? Because his career with the Bulls is the most Tony Snell stat line that you will ever see.
Just all zeros? Like,
it is. He played 2 minutes in one game in 2013-14.
Oh, come on, Will.
And he recorded one foul, and that is it.
That's not fair, Will. Oh no,
dude! I put up those stats.
This was there purely to stump you guys. And his name is Jarvis Varnado.
Dude, you know what I'm saying, Mark K? Okay. Like, I would not have known that human being ever.
No.
Wow.
Then I did my job.
You did your job very well, sir.
Does that qualify as a ball? Like, is that
2 minutes?
There should be some criteria here, like that you have to play at least a minimum of 50 minutes per season or something like that.
Yeah, at least play, like, at least.
I was told there were no rules.
But you're right.
There are no rules. We're gonna move the goalposts and institute some rules for next week. Be my guest.
There are no rules.
I was given no guidelines for this. So I picked Jarvis Varnado. Shout out to you and your Jarvis 2 minutes Varnado. As a Chicago Bull.
Wow. Shout out to you, Jarvis, man. Oh, my God. I have no idea who this human being is. All right. I'm going to put you on this. Come on, Joey. Hit me up with this, sir. Give me my random Bulls generator, please. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that face right there. I wish he had a picture of him with some hair. You might know him better with hair on his head.
He looks like a Chuck, but I don't know.
You might know him a little bit better, man. It might be a thing, man. Marque, you got any idea?
Nah, man. Nah.
Okay. Oh, man, I can't believe I stumped y'all with that one. I thought this would be an easy one to get, honestly. Well, that is Bulls legend Trenton Hassel.
Oh, that's Trenton Hassel?
Yes.
Doesn't look like him.
You might recognize him with hair. Like, I remember him with hair when he was here with the Bulls.
Yeah.
He didn't have a ball until he left. But Trenton Hassel.
What he looks like, and it does not look like that.
Yeah, with the Nets, he did. When he was with the Nets, he definitely looked like that. But, yeah, Trenton Hassel was a player I definitely liked on the Chicago Bulls. He was a defender. You know, that's what his job was, to get out there and defend, period, and point blank. He was a starter. I liked what he did. And even in his career, when he left the Bulls, you know, he went to Minnesota on that team that went to the conference finals for the very first time during KG's year when he won
it. KG year.
Yeah, he had a great time. So respect to Trenton Hassel, man.
Yeah, I remember Trenton Hassel, and I remember with him. Yeah. I remember him with the Bulls. I remember with him with the Timberwolves. But for whatever reason, that picture stumped me completely. I'm going to blame Joey. I didn't believe that's Trenton Hassel. I'm going to blame Joey that he's just picked some random dude and put him in. Because I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, that was the era that I started watching this team, like becoming a diehard, as I spoke about before. Like, he was part of those teams. So, yeah, good one, Dave. Good one.
Thank you, sir.
Very good one. I think we should make some rules about this for next time because I'm.
Yes, we blame Joey.
I'm not good at this.
We blame Joey, man. That's our thing. But yes, we're gonna get out of here. That was a fun show. That went very fast, and it didn't even feel like it. But that was awesome to do, man. Joined by our guy Mark K. You can follow him at MK Hoops. Our guy Will Gottlieb. You can follow him at Won't Gottlieb. Will, you be safe, because I know you got travels ahead of you, sir. Please be safe. Can't wait to talk to you on Tuesday with the background. I just picture sun and water in your background for some reason, dog.
It's very, very far south Brazil, so they're turning into winter. It's getting cold. Okay. I'm going from winter to winter here.
Well, you have fun, man. You have a good time, and make sure you get back here safely. And, yeah, we'll see you Tuesday. Talk some more Bulls with all of you guys out there. Thank you for enjoying what we do. Make sure you sign up at PointsBet, y'all, and use that code CHGO to sign up and live your bet life and get yourself some money. Enjoy the game tonight, Dallas and Golden State. That should be a fun one. I'm hoping Luka drops 50 because they said he was sick. So I hope he pulls out a flu game on everybody. That would be absolutely cool. Sitting in for our guy, Matt Peck. I am Big Dave. You can follow
me.
Great
job.
Thank you, Will. It's very kind of you to say. And I love all y'all. Y'all be cool, y'all. We out. Peace.